Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
The U.S. and five Arab countries launched airstrikes Monday night on Islamic State group targets in Syria. We're going to look at the military significance of these strikes. We're going to evaluate the emotional impact for a Syrian American who has waited years for the U.S. to take action in her country. She worries that it may be too late. But U.S. Central Command said Bahrain, Jordan, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates participated in or supported in some way the strikes against Islamic State targets. In addition, CENTCOM said that American forces acted alone, taking action against a network of seasoned al-Qaeda veterans, something called the Khorasan Group in Syria. That's a separate attack to the airstrikes, including Tomahawk missiles, against Raqqa, which is the headquarters of the Islamic State. The intent against the Khorasan Group was to disrupt imminent attack planning, according to the Pentagon, against the United States and Western interests. With us on the line is Aki Peretz, a former CIA analyst and co-author of Find, Fix, Finish Inside the Counterterrorism Campaigns That Killed Osama Bin Laden and Devastated Al-Qaeda. Aki Peretz, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me on the program.
Can we talk about this Khorasan group to begin with? We know that Raqqa is the headquarters of ISIS, and we'll talk about those attacks in just a moment. But what about this Khorasan group? What do you make of that?
Well, according to press accounts, it's these old school al-Qaeda guys who predate 9/11. And supposedly they've actually come to Syria to do either, as the Pentagon says, imminent attack planning, to recruit individuals, because it's a lot easier to recruit potential fighters in Syria than anywhere else in the region. But essentially, what we have to remember that this is a Pentagon name for an organization that's really just part of an existing organization called Jabhat al-Nusra, which has also been the al-Qaeda organization within Syria.
What do you think the dynamic is here? Is this al-Qaeda operatives attempting to get a piece of the ISIS action here, getting some profile, testing explosives, according to BBC reports? At least that's what the Khorasan group was supposedly doing, trying to at least up the ante for al-Qaeda, which has been out of the game since ISIS broke with al-Qaeda earlier this year?
It's certainly possible. Remember that ISIS and Jabhat al-Nusra, and by de facto al-Qaeda, have actually been at war with each other for a while. Earlier this year, ISIS actually blew up Ayman al-Zawahiri, who was the head of al-Qaeda's emissary to Syria, which really kind of upset the folks back in Pakistan. But it's a target-rich environment, and so I suppose that the Khorasan group, or what we call the Khorasan group, has been actively trying to do something in Syria, because it's one of the few places in the world where the United States, up until last night, allowed al-Qaeda to sort of do whatever it wanted to do without much consequence.
Now, the language, American forces acting alone took action against a network of seasoned al-Qaeda veterans, suggests that this is not Tomahawk missiles or an airstrike. It might be boots on the ground, but again, nothing confirmed here. In the case of al-Qaeda and the al-Nusra group, these are shadowy groups that could be anywhere, unlike ISIS, which actually holds territory, including the city of Raqqa. What do you make of the airstrikes against Raqqa? Do you think it can degrade ISIS in any significant way?
I think that it's a great first step. It actually shows that ISIS is pretty vulnerable to air attacks as of right now. But what we've got to remember is that this is a terrorist organization. It's not a huge army. It's not like the Red Army. And so the United States, if we continue on this air campaign, is going to run out of targets to hit. And then what do we do? Second part is that once you sort of degrade the organization from the air, you really need to have ground troops, whether it's Americans, Syrians, Iraqis, what have you, to actually hold the ground, because you can never win an insurgency from the air.
Now, people have said this over and over. Do you think that airstrikes against Raqqa will just push ISIS into Iraq? Is there a way to encircle them in some way? Is there a way to deny the fighters on the ground? And there is estimated to be something on the order of 40,000 ISIS fighters. Deny them some morale that basically they'll desert if the airstrikes get too intense?
I don't know, because, I mean, we're talking about strategic air attacks, and we're not talking about carpet bombing whole cities. Now, Raqqa is actually a city of 200,000 people. And if you take all the river valleys, you're talking about millions of people extending into Iraq. So for us to do pinprick attacks to attack specific buildings, specific convoys, is not going to significantly degrade ISIS's capabilities until we have some sort of ground force to actually take them on, on the battlefield itself.
So this then becomes, in Raqqa, a possible hopeless hearts and minds game where collateral damage produces radicalization on the ground and ISIS on some level benefits from our airstrikes in Raqqa, even though we might degrade some of their facilities and military capability.
Well, I would look at it more of a positive light, because the folks, the people of Raqqa probably really dislike ISIS to begin with. And so the fact that their headquarters just got blown up and a number of military convoys got blown up and some other targets got hit. If I were an average citizen of Raqqa and I had to live under ISIS for the past year or year and a half, I would actually see this as a positive development. So in terms of hearts and minds, it shows that the United States is actually getting in the game. Which we haven't been doing so for the last 3 years, which a lot of the rebels have been asking us to do, begging us to do.
Your book is about the campaign that killed Osama bin Laden. How important do you think Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the leader of ISIS, is, and what do you think his status might be as a result of these airstrikes?
He's an extremely important person because he came to power after the last leader was killed, actually by accident, in 2010. He's been planning something like this for the better part of 4 years, and he's a very thoughtful, brutal, ruthless guy, but he's also a strategic thinker. So, for example, prior to all the stuff that happened in Mosul in the summertime, he's been breaking people out of jail, out of Abu Ghraib, out of Mosul jail and so forth, for the past year. And so he's been getting his dream team ready for this event. And so he's a really thoughtful guy. And he's not going to go quietly into that night.
And denying him leadership and taking him out, it could be of real significance there to ISIS. Aki Peretz, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Aki Peretz is a former CIA analyst and co-author of the book Find, Fix, Finish, Inside the Counterterrorism Campaigns That Killed Osama bin Laden and Devastated Al-Qaeda. And now a voice from someone with a lot at stake inside Syria. Basma Akbik left Syria 20 years ago for the United States, but Basma still has family in Damascus. She currently lives in Cincinnati, Ohio, where she's been watching developments very, very closely. Basma Akbik, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So has the war begun in your mind? Has the United States finally weighed into your country after so many years?
Well, I don't know if it's weighing in or you know, it's going to do any good to the country right now. In my opinion, you cannot treat the metastasis without taking the original tumor. We don't have to forget that ISIS was created by the regime. ISIS was born because of what was going on in Syria for 4 years. Syria has been under fire for 4 years. 250,000 people at least were killed. And now, in my opinion, it's very good that hopefully we're going to get rid of ISIS, possibly. But more civilians are going to pay the price because ISIS now is embedded, actually, in the civilians' area. They got the warning soon enough to just be spread it in between the civilians.
So in the midst of this airstrike, you feel a real deep sadness right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm looking to my country now, and I'm praying that Syria does not become another Afghanistan.
Or Iraq, for that matter.
Or Iraq. I mean, yeah, in this excuse of fighting the terrorism, we're not looking at the original reason, at the big reason. Those are ideologies. They are being fed by a bigger thing. It's a bigger than only ISIS. Airstrikes won't do the job.
How's your family? How's your family in Damascus, Basma?
Well, it's so painful to wake up every morning and hearing about a shell or a mortar, you know, falling here and there next to our building. And it's very hard to hear that our neighbor got killed and the worker at the hospital next to my building was killed. And, you know, my friend was kidnapped and my friend's daughter was kidnapped. It's just so hard and scary to wake up every morning to hear this bad news. I don't know when the shell or the mortar is going to hit one of my family members. It is so scary. I have an elderly parent who are living now by themselves. All their kids just, you know, are spread around the world and they don't have anyone to help them.
And this news today doesn't make you feel that they're safer at all.
Well, my parents are in Damascus. What I'm afraid of that this thing that's happening right now in northern Syria is going to spread to all the cities in Syria, including Damascus. I don't know what's going to happen. What are the reactions from the regime or from other, you know, people who are kind of like sleeping cells right now? I don't know what the reaction will be, what the excuses the regime's going to take to burn Damascus, as they promised. They promised to burn Damascus.
Basma, let me ask you a question about something we're hearing. The U.S. has attacked cells of some organization called Khorasan, which leaks from Washington over the weekend told us was a new group that mm-hmm. has, you know, directly threatened the United States. We're learning about this for the first time, but in talking with your friends and family in Syria, have you known about this for a while?
No, I was going to talk to you about this, proving my point that this is only an ideology and it's going to spread and spread and spread. So Khorasan, I only heard about it from the Al Arabiya news channel since I live here in the States. And it's we heard about it. We saw who the leader is, and he was connected to Al-Qaeda during September 11.
So it doesn't surprise you, this Khorasan.
Oh, no. And I was expecting more and more of this. Syria became now the refuge for all these extremism because they want to, in their minds, to do something. They've been brainwashed. You listen to them on the news and what their ideology is, and you think, oh, my God, is this for real?
Basma Akbik left Syria 20 years ago for the U.S., lives in Cincinnati, Ohio. She has family in Syria. Her husband is a doctor in a refugee camp in Jordan, and her elderly parents and grandparents are in Damascus. Thank you so much, Basma.
Thank you for having me.